Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be here. So I bring greetings from the Fowl Building over the road where there's another congregation gathering right now. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Andrew, one of the leaders here in the church. And over the summer period, we're not following a preaching series. We're just inviting those that are bringing God's word to us each Sunday to bring what God has laid on their hearts. And this morning, I just want to bring such a simple message and remind us of some basic foundational truths from Jesus' words in John chapter 15. If you've got a Bible with you, I'd recommend you turn to it so we can engage with this passage together just for a few moments. I'm not going to be preaching for a long time. We're going to go from this message into breaking bread together, as Ben has already said. In John chapter 15, Jesus gives us this amazing, profound, really, image of a vine and branches. I'm just going to read the first five verses. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Did you get that? Apart from him, you and I can do nothing. As I said, I want to bring two very basic truths from this passage. And the first is simply this. Jesus is our life. He is our life. He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." A branch has no life apart from its connection to the vine. The same sap that flows through the vine, flows into the branches, enabling them and nourishing them and invigorating them and enabling them to grow and be fruitful. Jesus says that's a picture of what it means to be a follower of his. It's a picture of what it means to be in Christ. We are joined to him, joined to the vine. And I think an implication of this passage is that Jesus is not added to us. He's not added to our life. There's a sense in which when I became a follower of Jesus, I invited Jesus into my life. But I think reflecting on the image of the vine shows us that he's not added to me. I'm added to him. So that I'm not at the center, as if Jesus comes into my life and merely enhances my life. He is at the center. I'm added to him, and I come to share in his life, which is true life, which is abundant life. It's spiritual life. It's what the Bible calls eternal life. The life of God. We become participants in that life, sharing in that life. Jesus is our life. And he says in verse 4, "Remain in me and I will remain in you." And he repeats that in verse 5. He says, "Remain in me and I in you." When you and I are remaining in Christ, and other translations say abiding in Christ, when we're centered on Christ, the whole of our lives are orientated around him, we share in his life. We know true life. And I found that during these dark days that many of us have had over the past 18 months, and some of those days have been darker than I could have imagined, the life of Christ is the antidote to fretfulness, anxiety, and a lack of joy. And Jesus in this passage goes on in verse 11 to talk about joy. He shares his life with us. And just as he shares his life with us, so he also shares his love with us, because the life of Christ is inseparable from his love. That's why in this passage he moves from talking about remaining in him to remaining in his love. When we remain in Christ, we receive his life, but we also know his love. We live the whole of our lives in the atmosphere of love. And this morning, I just want to call you, simply want to issue a charge to you to return to Christ, center yourself on him. What does it mean to remain in Christ? It means that you're It means that your minds are fixed on him. It means your hearts are set on him. It means you're attentive to his voice. It means that you're obedient to his will. To the extent that you and I remain in Christ, we know his love. And perhaps some of you this morning can say, I haven't been fixed on Christ. I haven't had my heart set on him. I haven't been attentive to his voice. I haven't been obedient to his will. I want to call you this morning to come and return to him. To resolve in your heart, I want the whole of my life to be orientated around him. I want him to be at the center. And perhaps there are people here this morning who've never before responded to the message to come and be part of the vine, to come and participate in his life, so that you know the fullness of his life in your life. And if that's the case, there's a call, there's an invitation to you this morning to come and orientate your life around Jesus and surrender to him and say, Jesus, I don't merely want you to come into my life to enhance my life. I want to surrender to you so that I am added into you and know your life. Come to participate in that life that you offer. That's the first point. He is our life. And the second point I want to bring draws our attention to the action of the Father, the purpose of the Father in this passage in verses 1 and 2. Let me read those opening words to you again. Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. He prunes. The whole of humanity can be split into two categories. You're either in the vine or you're not in the vine. You're either sharing in the life of Jesus or you're not sharing in the life of Jesus. But for those of us who are joined to the vine, for those of us who are sharing in the life of Christ, you'll either be cut off or you'll be cut back. Either way, you're going to get cut. The Father prunes us. He cuts things back. And for many of us in the past 18 months, this has been a season of pruning. So much has been cut back, right? So much in church life, so much in our personal lives. And the thing is this, when the stuff in our life is cut back, when our lives are pruned, it hurts us. It's painful. We got a rosemary bush in our back garden. At the end of the winter, I gave it a hard prune. I cut it back. And Laura looked out the window and she said, "What have you done? You've killed it." And I can imagine if the bush could speak back to me, it would say, "Andrew, what have you done?" And this pitiful tangle of bare twigs struck me as a metaphor in that moment for how I was feeling about the past 18 months, right? So much was cut back. A time of pruning. But look at the purpose of the Father in cutting us back. Jesus says in verse 2, every branch that does bear fruit, the Father prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. There will come a time in your life and mine when we look back at those seasons of pruning in our lives and we say, Father, thank you. Thank you for your pruning work in my life. Thank you that you cut so much back so I could bear more fruit. There was purpose in that pruning. There was purpose in the pain and the sense of, God, what have you done? He prunes us so that we might be more fruitful. If you were to look at the rosemary bush in our garden now, it's a picture of life and health and vigor. All this new green growth where previously there was none. And Jesus says in here, the Father cuts us back. He prunes us to make us more fruitful. What is the fruit that Jesus is referring to in the passage? I think the context of the passage makes it clear because this picture of the vine is sandwiched between two points in John's gospel where Jesus presents a new command, which is the command to love one another. He's talking about the fruit of love. The Father cuts things back in our lives to expose the selfishness within, right? That hurts. That's painful. He cuts things back to expose the tendency in us towards self-pity, the tendency to retreat into our own cocoon and live without any reference to the lives of others. He cuts things back so that he might shape us and mold us to be people of love. Unless we're in any doubt about what love means, Jesus defines the love that he's talking about in verse 13 of this passage. To love means to lay down our lives for one another. It's what Jesus did for us. He laid down his life for us. And now the Father prunes us so that we might love one another with the same love with which he has loved us. And I don't think you can reflect on this picture of the vine and nod your head in agreement and nod affirmatively and then go back to your life, which is self-contained and full of self-interest. This is a passage that issues a call for us to lay down our lives for one another. We believe that's God's purpose for us as a church. And of course, love is not restrictive. Love is not narrow. That love with which we love one another then overspills from the church and impacts on the way in which we love others in the world. The Father has called us to be a people who bear the fruit of love in our lives, and he will do whatever it takes to cut things back in our lives and prune us so that he might shape us to be those people that he's called us to be in the world. So those are the two things that I want to bring from the passage, two foundational truths about what it means to be part of the people of God. Firstly, Jesus is our life. We have no life apart from him. We're joined to the vine. He doesn't just come into our life to enhance the life that we had before. No, we surrender to him, and in so doing are joined to the vine so that his life becomes our life. And the second thing is, the Father has purpose in pruning us. He cuts things back in our lives so that we might bear more fruit. The fruit of love, so that we might lay down our lives for one another, so that we might die to comfort, die to convenience, die to self, and in so doing be a picture in the world of what the love of God looks like, be the very embodiment of that love as his people. So we're going to come to a time of breaking bread together. I'm going to hand over to Ben, who's going to lead us in that in just a second. The early believers broke bread and they drank the wine, the simple meal that Jesus instituted as part of what they called the love feast. It's centered on love. It's a time when we come together and we say, thank you, Jesus, for the way in which you have loved me. Thank you, you laid down your life for me. Thank you that you did that so that I might know your life, that I might become a participant in the very life of God. But it's also a meal that we don't share in individualistically. We do this communally, because in joining us to the vine, we've also become joined to one another. We do this as the family of God's people. We look one another in the eye as we break bread together and we drink the wine or the juice or whatever it is together. We do this together as a reminder that he calls us to be a community that embodies that same love with which he has loved us. So now we lay down our lives for one another. Shall I pray? And then we'll go for there. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you sent your Son into the world and he gave up his life for our sakes so that we might share in the life of God, so that we might know true life. We might have spiritual life, which is eternal life. We pray in this moment that this would be for each one of us a moment of orientation, perhaps even reorientation, as we choose to center our hearts on your Son. Thank you for reminding us that apart from him, we have no life. True life, abundant life, is not to be found anywhere else. We look to you, Heavenly Father, and we thank you for Jesus. And we look to you, Son of God. We look to you, our beloved Savior, and we say thank you for laying down your life for our sakes. And we pray that this might be a moment of rich communion, not just with you, but also with one another. as you remind us of what you have called to be in this world that you so love. A community in which we love one another and love the world with the same love with which you have loved us. We thank you, Spirit of God, that you're here with us this morning, working in us, moving among us, working in our hearts, working in our minds. We pray that you would impress on us these foundational truths about what it means to be your people, that we might live the rest of our lives to the glory of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.